Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus, and on this Stewardship Sunday, I pray that by our worship, we might all be fed on the fruit of the one true vine and bear fruit ourselves that is worthy of our discipleship. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live streamed or perhaps recorded worship. Time and distance may be separating us, and yet we know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are yet one in the body of Christ. Let us be that body up and about its business of advancing God's mission in the world. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that we want to share with you this morning. We have thanks to many worship leaders today who are making this worship together possible, to Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, Sharon Kirby and Rick Ripley, Tom Foster, Beth Canterbury, Daryl Robbins, and Jeffrey Downton. We offer our thanks, and also special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for making this worship possible on the technical side. We give thanks for all of them and for this worship together this day. I invite you during our worship time to have a candle that you might light as we light the Christ candle together. This will happen just after the announcement. So if you haven't yet done so, please find a candle that you might be able to use to help create the worship space in your home or wherever you are worshiping with us this day. We have a time of lifting up public prayer celebrations and concerns during our worship, and we want to be able to add those to our worship. We have many that are listed in our church's bulletin, but you can also email them to prayers at firstchurchnatick.com. firstchurchnatick.org. Prayers at firstchurchnatick.org. If we receive those by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our worship this day. So we hope you will do that. We always have a time of post-worship fellowship via Zoom video conferencing. And so we invite you to take part in that. It happens roughly just after the worship service ends. We invite you to look to the link emailing that you will have received on Friday and or on Sunday morning, this morning. You might also find it on the church's website as well. Today is Stewardship Sunday. It's a day when we recognize that stewardship is an ongoing aspect of our discipleship, and yet there are moments in the church year when we lift up the season of stewardship, and that is how we use the time, talents, and treasures that we have been gifted by our God to be disciples in the name of Jesus. So we invite you, if you haven't yet done so, to complete your estimate of giving card and to return it to the church. And that way we can best plan for how to be the church in the coming year, and also to engage you in being a part of this church community gathered together to be the church up and about and in the world. We hope that you will do that. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have some announcements this morning as well.
Thank you. Yes, we want to offer a special welcome to some special musicians this morning. We have Daryl Robbins and Jeffrey Downton joining us today with their trumpets, and we are thrilled to have them add to our worship experience. So some of us are very familiar with Daryl and Jeffrey, but for those of you who are not, you're in for a special treat today. And I want to remind people that on Wednesdays, we have our midweek connection and prayer time. You're certainly welcome to join us when we share prayer requests and spend some time in prayer together. That's Wednesdays at noon. And there are links that you can find. It's Zoom video conferencing, so you can find those links on both our link newsletter that goes out weekly and on our website. And also a reminder that Jonathan is available during the week for pastoral care needs. You can reach him at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. Thank you.
We come to a time now of lighting the Christ candle, and I invite you to light your candles together, remembering as we receive this light of the Spirit, that we are indeed the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth into every beshadowed corner where the light of God is needed. Let us light our candles together. Let us continue our worship now as we join together on our responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Life and breath.
A gift from God.
Loving deeply and forgiving often.
Enabled by God.
Living in peace and creating justice.
Sustained by God.
Seeking and praising God.
Our offering to God.
Transforming this world.
Possible with God.
Called to shine the light of God into the world.
Let us praise the God of love and possibility.
God of the sparrow, God of the whale, God of the swirling stars, how do your creatures say, creatures say life. God of the neighbor, God of the foe, God of the brooding hawk. How do your creatures say love? How do your creatures say peace? God of the ages, God near at hand, God of the loving heart. How do your children say joy? How do your children say home?
Please join me in the opening prayer. As we say together, you have been good to us, gracious God, for the gift of skills and talents and for an abundant harvest in our life's work. We pour out our gratitude. You have dealt wondrously with us so that we have more than we need. Dwell with us now that we may not only be inspired to share, but also prompted to work together for a more just world, in which all your children have the physical and spiritual nourishment they need and reasons for joy. Amen.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, perhaps reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, maybe placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our own peace, or perhaps offering the word namaste with a bow, which signifies the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. Namaste.
Stewardship is an ongoing act of discipleship, and in our church's stewardship season, we take time to recognize that our decisions and actions matter to those whose lives that might be blessed by our time, talents, and treasures that are given to us by God. We're not passing an offering plate at this time. I'm going to say a little bit more about that later in my sermon, but we hope that you will continue to remain a generous contributor to this church's mission and ministry. You can mail a check to the church. You could make an online contribution to the church through our church's website, clicking on the donate button at www.firstchurchnatick.org. And if your estimate of giving card that you will have received in the mail at this point is yet uncompleted, we hope that you will take some time, perhaps even now, to consider what your support of this church's mission and ministry might be in 2021. Join with the many others who are putting their treasure where their hearts are. In gratitude, let us give of the fruits of our life and labor for the support of Christ's church and its mission to all those who need to know the light and love of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Holy One, pour out your Spirit on these gifts of our labors and transform them into your work in the world. Make them a blessing for all who search for your bounty. By your power, may the light of the world that we are be reflected through the light in the storm that we're seeking to be in these challenging days. And may your Spirit continue to call us forth to living a life of giving and making a difference. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading for today is from the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, beginning in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
In Mark 12, verses 41 through 44, he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called to his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I want to begin the sermon today with a reading from Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass, and it goes like this. Alice held the black cat up to the looking glass. "Now, Kitty, I'll tell you all my ideas about Looking Glass House. There's the room you can see through the glass. That's just the same as our drawing room, only the things go the other way. You can see the passage in Looking Glass House if you leave the door on our drawing room wide open. And it's very like our passage as far as you can see, only it may be quite different beyond. Let's pretend there's a way of getting through it somehow, Kitty. Why, it's turning into a sort of mist now, I declare. It'll be easy enough to get through. And certainly the glass was beginning to melt away, just like a silver mist. In another moment, Alice was through the glass and had jumped lightly down into the looking glass room. So Alice, I love her capacity to imagine an alternative world like hers, but different, and then to enter it. The prophet's call to do justice, James's reminder that faith without works is dead, Jesus commands to feed the multitudes with seemingly meager resources, and to love God and neighbor. All of these and more witness to our faith's claim that we are empowered to continue Jesus' difference-making ministry in the world. Accepting this requires moral imagination. And there's no doubt in my mind, entering into other people's lives in the caring way that God expects requires that we be able to go through the looking glass. But the question remains, can we do it? Can we do it? Jesus shocked people of his day and challenges us and ours by having us think of others, no matter how different, as real people. When Alice meets the unicorn, Lewis Carroll writes, "Unicorn looked at Alice with an air of deepest disgust. 'What is this?' he said at last. 'This is a child,' Heige, the messenger, replied. 'I always thought children were fabulous monsters,' said the unicorn. 'Is it alive?' 'It can talk,' said Heige. The unicorn looked dreamily at Alice and said, 'Talk, child.' Alice could not help smiling as she began, 'Do you know, I always thought unicorns were fabulous monsters, too. I never saw one alive before.' 'Well, now that we've seen each other,' said the unicorn, 'if you'll believe in me, I'll believe in you. Is that a bargain?' 'Yes, if you like,' said Alice. So believe in me, and I'll believe in you. Belief, as theologian C.S. Song has written, is a commitment word, is a person word, is a word of the heart. To believe in another person is different from believing in an idea. It's the first hint of love, the acknowledgement of another person's worth, the moment when you recognize her as a real person with real human needs. But preoccupied in our own private drawing rooms, we may fail to see others as real people for whom we are responsible. And yet, as a people called and sent to care, we're challenged to value all people and to demonstrate that commitment to them. So the question is, how do we show our commitment to others? Well, Jesus urged us to be concerned with heavenly things, saying, "Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And yet we often tend to gloss over the conclusion that he makes from this idea, the conclusion that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus' simple observation is that where we invest our money is also apt to be where we invest our hearts. A glance at our own bank or credit card statements tell us that. But as a church, I think that the way that we see how our congregation's heart is invested is by how we plan to care for others, how we plan to do that. And that is largely seen in our church's budget. And yet, let's face it, we rarely feel that our budget is a matter of the heart. We just don't think in this way. Most of us look at all those numbers that we might find in the church's budget, in that line item budget, and frankly, our eyes can start to glaze over. Take this highlighted line item budget from our 2020 church budget. Obviously, money that's set aside for mission, well, that feels like mission, but how does the line item postage, $2,750, or office equipment, $4,500, or insurance, $25,000, relate to the caring difference that we hope to make in people's lives? On the face of it, the line item budget doesn't really tell the story of our dedication to caregiving and to our light in a storm ministry in Natick and beyond. No doubt the church has a heart for mission, and this church specifically has a heart for mission and outreach. Yet Emil Bruner has said, the church exists for mission as fire exists for burning. The church exists for mission as fire exists for burning. Bruner wasn't saying that mission is what we do. He was saying something much more essential. He was saying that mission is the church. So here's another act of moral and spiritual imagination that I believe is needed to recognize that the line items in the church budget aren't mere dead on the page figures, that they represent our intentional allocation of resources to be the church, taking up God's mission in the world. We need to read between those lines, allowing them to become transparent to the people whose lives that we intend to touch through our ministry together. And to remember that we are an outpost of God's mission in the world. So our budget is really a mission spending plan, a mission spending plan. Our plan for how we're going to disperse God's transformative power wherever we see that is needed by everything that we give, by everything that we do, and by everything that we are. Thinking in this way can also help us to understand that as we strive to be good care givers, we must also be good care takers, that is, stewards. So stewards, this is a church word that I really think has fallen on hard times, and yet I want to continue to try to redeem it if at all possible. But maybe it's fallen on hard times because of this. Steward, this word steward, comes from the old English word stigward, which means sty keeper, keeper of the pigsty. You know, who wants to be associated with the swine? And yet the truth is, the stigward was one of the most important workers in the English manor. Without a reliable and well-kept source of food, hunger and even starvation were very real threats to the English manor. So the stigward anticipated the needs of the manor and then planned very carefully. The stigward anticipated the needs. Low in the hierarchy and not even the owner of the resources that he managed, he still was able to treat the pigs and their environment as if they were his own and responsibly. The same is true of church stewards. And yet, unlike the steward, who understood the direct connection between his hogs and the people who needed them to live, we can too easily disconnect our caretaking from our caregiving. Think about this. The church is maybe perhaps unique among human institutions in staking its existence on something as seemingly unreliable as human generosity and goodwill. Accordingly, our church budget is more than an estimate of income and expenses so we can keep the bills paid and the doors open. It reveals the character of the people who built it, the people who support it, the people who act through it. It articulates our response to God's call to be participants in Jesus' ongoing work. It demonstrates our dedication to being caregiving people, that God sends into the world, a celebration of organized generosity, prompted by our compassion for others and our gratitude toward God for all the many ways that our lives are blessed. You know, the world tells us that if we give, we really ought to get something back. That's what the world tells us. And this is one of the reasons why I am absolutely missing something that we have not been able to do this entire time of pandemic. One of the most countercultural aspects of worship, passing the offering plate and demonstrating how we faithfully share our God-given prayer. You may know that 19th century churches rented pews in order to raise funds for the churches of their time. And the story is told about how Mark Twain encountered this practice once when he entered a New England church and made the mistake of taking the first available pew. During the service, an indignant parishioner sent him a note. You can imagine the note being written and passed along the way, and it gets to Mark Twain, and he opens it up and he reads, "You are sitting in my pew for which I pay $50 a year." And Twain kind of looks at the note for a second, and he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a little stub of pencil and he flips the note over and he writes his own message on there and he folds it up and he passes it back along the row, and it finally gets back to that indignant parishioner, and that person opens it up and reads, "You are paying too much. You are paying too much." Now, Twain may have been commenting on the quality of the preacher's sermon. That's always a possibility, but I really think that he was doing something else. I think that he was masterfully revealing how too often we get caught in the trap of thinking of our stewardship as paying our way at church, when it's really something else, when it's really a moment to show just where our hearts are with other people. Yes, I'm missing passing the offering plate during worship. You call me strange, I know, but I have always felt that when the offering plate is passed, it's one of the most exciting spiritual aspects of our worship, because bound up in the seemingly boring topic of stewardship and the distasteful act of handling dirty money is our moment to show where our hearts really are with other people, to go through the looking glass and to find the world that God intends us all to inhabit, to be like that poor widow that Jesus saw outside the temple. She came to the treasury boxes there, treasury boxes where there would have been signs describing all of those who the offering would benefit. And poor as she was, what does she do? She gives all that she has, because she is able to imagine the real people whose lives would be bettered by her gift, and that she has the power to help them. In our budget making together and in our generous giving, may we have such moral and spiritual imagination, remembering the people who are the reason for our commitment to welcome and affirm everyone, the people that are bound up in our identity as Natick's front porch, the people, and our intention to shine forth as a light in the storm in these dim and tumultuous days, the people that are at the center of the heart-filled investment that we are making as individuals and as a church, when we commit ourselves and our substance, channel our gifts to do that priceless work, strive to grow love that bears good fruit, and where we nourish our hopefulness so we'll have what we need to face all those situations and circumstances that seem hopeless. Because chances are, that is precisely where the power that God has given us to tip the world and God's love are most needed. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to a time now in which we lift up the cares and concerns that we have, that our congregation has, and indeed that our community, the Commonwealth, our nation, and the world has. So many cares and concerns that we might lift up, so many joys and celebrations that we might lift up. I would name a few this morning. We continue to be in a time of coronavirus upsurge, and so we continue to encourage all of us to act prudently in the use of masks and to make good choices about how we are spending time with others and how we are how we're managing our own behavior during that time so that we can keep ourselves safe and keep others safe and stop the spread of this virus. So personal action is very important. Let's try to do that together. We also continue to pray for all of those who have been veterans in a week where we will celebrate Veterans Day, occurring midweek as it is in the wake of an historic election, this is something that might indeed be lost, but yet we would remember all of those women and men who have served on behalf of our nation and in the service of freedom. May we remember them this week. We do remember that this is a nation that has been and continues to be deeply divided politically and in many other ways. And yet we appear to be on the other side of a national election. That means that perhaps we can move into a next chapter of our political life together. We don't know what this means, of course. And I think that uncertainty continues to prey on our hearts and on our minds. And yet we know that a new time is coming. And so as we enter into that time, may we be the people who we're called to be, regardless of what political badges that we might wear, the people in the world who are committed to those things that that are the best of this nation, about freedom and about care for each other and how we can be a place of plenty and opportunity for everyone. And so in this time, I would indeed remind us of the words of former Congressman John Lewis, who said that democracy is not a state, it is an act. And so we continue to pray that all Americans would live into their citizenship and continue to act in the interest of democracy, and in particular in the interest of the common good during this time. We continue to lift up in prayer our church in a time of being the church together, in a time of challenge where we can't be together in person, personally, where sometimes it's hard for us to recognize the many ways that this church community and its commitments are making a difference in the world, and yet it's happening. So we continue to invite everyone who is a part of this church community to reflect on the ways that they're engaged in church life. And in particular, at this moment of the church year during stewardship season, to continue to consider the ways that we can each give of what we have to be the church powerfully, and in particular through this church community. We bring all those things into prayer and more, And I turned to Wayne Zaretter, who may have some other emailed celebrations or concerns that have been lifted up this day. Wayne?
Good morning. Prayers go out to Heather Psyche's colleague, Beth Ganley, for a quick and successful recovery from knee surgery this coming Tuesday. Lastly, thoughts and prayers to the friends and family of Bill Ladd's friend and colleague, classmate, Kathleen Murphy, who died last Sunday of a brain cancer.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you. May we take all of these celebrations and concerns, all of these things that weigh upon our hearts, but also maybe lifting our spirits, and bring them into prayer together before our loving God. Let us do so now. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks for the ways that you hold us by your Spirit, and in those times when we don't understand your ways, don't understand where you might be bringing us, we yet look to you to be a spirit in our lives, moving us to be your people, and indeed to help us be the church in this world and in this time. We are at an inflection point in our nation's history. We are at a time of challenge, a time of great change. We are at a time facing coronavirus. We are in a time when there are divisions politically, where issues of race and other significant issues that are keeping some from experiencing the full promise of what it means to be an American. All of these things, Holy One, have been in our hearts and minds, and we have been carrying them, and we will continue to carry them. And we know that no matter what the outcome of an election might be, we know that all of those things continue to be challenges before us. And so we ask that your hand of grace be upon us to continue to bless us in being our best selves as Christians and as citizens. We give you thanks for the ways that you have given us breath and relationship and the possibility of joy, given us opportunity and challenge for the sake of our growth. You've given us gift upon gift and ultimately the blessing of yourself. And somehow we so often are caught up in fear, and we have failed to believe in your love and have suffered the consequences. And so we ask you, Holy One, to awaken us anew to the truth of Jesus' teaching. Help us to hearken to your hopes and respond in the manner of your expectation, that we may truly honor your giving to life. Oh God, your love for us is manifest in what you entrust to us. Thank you. Thank you for the gifts of time and talent and treasure that we offer in your service. And thank you for trusting us in spite of our inadequacies with the responsibility of being your ambassadors in the world. Today we pray for those who have become disheartened or fearful in offering what they have been given because they've been rebuffed. Help them to remember they have been given a precious gift of love to share. For those who miss the joy of giving, of living with a daring courage, may they take a leap of faith into life in your Spirit. And for ourselves, we pray for the courage to be honest in our appraisal of what we have done with the time, talents, and treasure that we've been given, and for the willingness to take risks for the sake of the gospel and those who would know the realm of love that you intend us to know. We want to honor you and to boldly live the life of faith with your divine extravagance. And so help us to serve you with every aspect of ourselves, bringing that dedication to our faith lives and this church community and our families and our community and every aspect of democratic citizenship in this nation so desperately in need of healing and true hope. Help us to continue to speak truth. Help us to continue to look to one another. By your power, may you bring us the healing that we need. We ask so much, Holy One, and yet we ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
God of the fertile fields, Shaper of earth that yields our daily bread, forth from your bounteous hand come gifts your love has bled, that all in every land be clothed and fed. We would be stewards true, holding in trust from you all that you give. Help us in love to share, teach us like you to care for people everywhere that all may live. As grows the hidden seed to fruit that serves our need, your reign yet grows. So let our toil be used, no gift of yours abused, no humble task refused, your love bestows. God of the countryside, dear to the Christ who died to make us one, we pledge our lives anew in faithful love to you. Guide all we say and do till life is done.
Beloved, let us arise now from this worship to go forth as workers together with God, proclaiming the good news, performing deeds of mercy and kindness, and telling, serving, being, and celebrating together, that God's love and light might be shared in all that we do and in all that we are. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.
Oh,